So we've got four speakers for you this afternoon, and I'd like to introduce to kick us off, Harry.
Hey everyone, I'm Harry. I'm a member of Al-Anon, and I'm also an alcoholic and a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. How did I arrive in Al-Anon from that position? Well, you know, in AA we have the big book, and we have the steps, and we have God. So really, in theory, I've got everything I need to be okay. But I'll tell you what it's like. So yesterday I had a very good AA day. So I woke up when I intended to wake up, sober, which is very good. And I made a plan for the day, and I started my day right. And I started following the plan. I went to work, and I worked while I was at work. I had a tough meeting with my boss, which I might come back to you later, but I behaved myself. And then, so good, I'm in London, I've agreed to do a chair, so I go to Soho, I go to an AA meeting, I do a chair. I think it was an okay chair. I didn't literally drink during the chair, so I think it was like okay, like I passed the basic bar of it being an okay chair. So I'm on track, I'm on plan. And the plan is, the rest of the day, I'm gonna get on this train back to Brighton, and I'm gonna read my book. So I'm standing at on the platform, London Bridge, and in the distance I can see a man coming down the platform, and he's slightly swaying. And he gets closer still, and I can see his feet are hitting the platform slightly harder than a normal person, a sober person would be. And he gets closer still. His eyes aren't entirely open. And then I notice his flies down, and I can see his stripy red and blue underwear. And I think, oh, well, I guess he's a bit drunk. And as he passes me, I say, "Your fly's down, mate." And he says, "Thank you." And because of the steps and the power of God, sometimes I have a little bit of presence of mind, and I can see my own thoughts. And my thinking was, this man is fascinating. This man is really alive. I'm going to befriend him on the train, and we're going to have a wonderful train journey together. That was not what I had planned to do on the train. An alcoholic turned up, and my plans changed. It became very, very more exciting than I was anticipating. And again, so thanks. So Al-Anon's got me to a position now where I don't have to engage with the exciting drunk man on the train. And I can spot often when my mind goes off in that direction. So the real kicker that really got me into Al-Anon was at 4 years sober, I started having the regularly unpleasant feeling that I needed to throw myself out of a window. And you know, when I finally got honest with my sponsor and brought that to the program, you know, and I did a fresh step four, a fresh trip into dry dock to have myself sorted out. The summary of what was going on was that basically other people were not behaving how I wanted them to behave. And most of the behavior I wanted from them was for them to look after me, to do things for me that I was supposed to be doing for myself. And fortunately, I had enough people around me who had familiarity with an Al-Anon to say, you need to get plugged in there. So I've been plugged into Al-Anon solidly for a couple of years. And I had all the mechanics of the program from the Big Book and AA, but the Al-Anon perspective, the extra literature, and crucially the people, have fundamentally transformed my life. And I mean, just one quick preamble thing to say is, I was the AA speaker at an Al-Anon thing a few years ago, and someone approached me. We had a nice conversation before the meeting, and Al-Anon, and they said to me, well, it's all the same, it's all exactly the same, except Al-Anonism isn't fatal. And today, I feel very much that my Al-Anonism is fatal, and if it wasn't for Al-Anon, I don't think it would end well for me. Through either chronic ill health, frankly, suicide or misadventure. And of course, on a practical note, I wouldn't be able to go stay in at AA if it wasn't for Al-Anon. I would not be able to handle my home group if it wasn't for regular Al-Anon attendance. So on a very day, week-to-week practical level, it's really doing an awful lot of work for me. So I wanted to read just, I was taken by, in how Al-Anon works, there's the section on slogans, and I was looking earlier about this slogan, "Let it begin with me." And like all the literature in AA and Al-Anon, is sometimes it feels like it's a bit cheeky, but this is like the most cheeky thing I've read in a while. It feels like it's prodding me very hard. Often a very legitimate need or desire goes unrecognized because we expect that need to be met by someone else. We may be yearning for more honesty in a relationship or more pleasurable weekends, yet taking no responsibility for our own part in addressing those needs. This is like going hungry while waiting for someone who doesn't cook to make dinner. Let it begin with me might suggest that we go ahead and cook for ourselves, go out for dinner, or, and this is the cheeky bit, or make plans with someone who cooks. In short, we take responsibility for getting our own needs met. So some recent things that have happened that I've applied this principle of... Let me just say, I think there's a crucial thing that had to click with me with Al-Anon. If you go to any 12-step fellowship meeting, I think pretty much is my experience. I'd imagine this is, you might agree with me. If you go along and you say, well, the way I get through my day is I drink very heavily, everyone would go, you've really missed the point here. You've clearly missed something about what this is all about. So, you know, you're not quite right there. And the same if you went along and you said, well, the way I get through my day is I gamble very heavily on credit cards that I've taken out fraudulently. There's another solution, mate. You know, again, and then you said, well, the way I get through my day is I have loads of money. I've got a penthouse and my six cars, and that makes it okay. Again, some people would say, well, that sounds quite good, but they'd say there's actually more available. And then you start getting into the fluffier areas, the weirder areas, where people say, well, the way I get through my day is I feel good all the time. I make sure I never have a bad feeling, and by making sure I never have a bad feeling, I'm kept okay. And I think a lot of people would say that sounds about right, maybe. And then you get a few old timers who say, well, maybe a rich and emotional life is a kind of thing we should have, and maybe you're not supposed to feel good all the time and whatever. But the crucial thing is, if someone said, the way I get through my day is I make sure I'm with other people all the time. The opposite of addiction is connection. So I make sure I'm surrounded by people. I've got my sponsees, I've got my meeting, I've got my sponsor, I've got my family, and because I have all those people, I'm okay now. And I think before I came to Al-Anon, I would have thought that was basically the solution. I probably wouldn't have said it like that, but I wanted to be surrounded by, I wanted to have proper human connections, and that was going to be the thing that kept me okay. And this thing of letting begin with me and thinking about, you know, whether I'm looking to outside people for the wrong thing has really cracked something in me. And so the way it is today is I'm incredibly grateful for all the people I love in my life and the help I've had. But today I'm accountable to me and my higher power. And I do wish other people well, and other people give me an awful lot of help. But ultimately, in the final test, I've got to stand with my higher power and take responsibility for myself and to be self-sufficient in or to rely on my higher power, not other people directly. Other people are a fantastic channel for the higher power, but I mustn't mistake the channel for the ultimate source. So, and practically how that's happened over the past few weeks is I went to America, and I spent a couple of weeks in America, and it was sort of spurred by a work event. But I just turned 40, and it occurred to me that I could treat myself. An Al-Anon helping thing. Maybe I could do something that I enjoyed, not that was unproductive, rather than useful to others. Maybe I could just do something that I wanted to do. And I decided I wanted to do, there's a 3-day Amtrak train from Chicago to San Francisco, and I've been wanting to do it for years, so I thought, I'm going to go and do that. I'm going to be by myself and look out of a window for 3 days and see the Rockies. And crucially, the mechanism started up. What would other people think of that? And the thing is, I didn't really have to guess because people started telling me what they thought of that. So I tell people I was doing it and they'd sort of, maybe they'd go quiet, or one of them almost rolled his eyes and said, you know, better take a book. And crucially, because of the help of Al-Anon, I didn't give a shit what any of them thought. I noticed that I started to, but then I was able to bring it back. So I'm on the train and another thing happened. There's a family on the train and I could tell from their haircuts they were religious. And they were the happiest family I have ever seen in my life. They were so comfortable and at ease and relaxed with each other. They were playing card games, they were joking around. They weren't on each other, they weren't criticizing each other, they weren't. And as I was watching it, I thought to myself, this is so different from what my family is like. And then the machinery started up. If only I'd had that kind of family, I'd have a different life now. So my responsibility is to myself today. I am not constrained by what my upbringing was like. It was my life situation and it needs to be dealt with. There'll be some hang-ups from that time. My aim now is to turn that into usefulness to others. So I have a life story. Hopefully that can help me connect to another person who needs help. But my happiness today is not dependent on the family I grew up with. So to the extent that I think that other people are responsible for my happiness today, this is rubbish. So what I took from that interaction with that family is that I can choose to be as happy as them. It might be clumsy and I'm going to fail at that, but my job is to bring things to the Al-Anon program to ensure that I'm as happy as I can be. Once I got to San Francisco, I know that I'm nearly coming to time. I got to San Francisco, I don't know if any of you have been there recently. The homelessness problem is horrendous. Not just, you know, your average homeless person in San Francisco is like our craziest homeless person over here. Americans do things big. And my objective reflection is these are some of the people in the toughest situations I've ever seen in my life. Really the lowest that a human being can get. And I had an awful lot of empathy and connection as I saw them and smelt them as I walked around the city. I went to an AA meeting, which was very low. It was a very sad start to the meeting, and a woman sat next to me who was very prim and proper. I thought, there's something going on here. She didn't look like a local, and then she got her courage to change out of her bag, and she was an Anon. She actually moved away from me quite quickly, but I don't know what that's to do with. But she shared that she was visiting. Her son was one of the homeless men. So her son had been living on the streets for 10 years, chronic alcoholic, brain damage, a lot of trouble. Without a sense of self-pity or complaint or hardship or anything, she just explained she was moving to San Francisco so that she could be near him. And I've never seen anyone with so much dignity in explaining, because they loved someone, they were gonna move near to be helpful, but they weren't complaining about it. She was taking responsibility for being a good mother, and that's what it meant to her. So I've really been affected very recently by this thinking about what I'm responsible for and what I'm getting from other people. My job is supposed to be a channel for the higher power, not a sink for other people's influence. And on the very quick note about my boss, he's gone against the deal. We had a deal, and he's gone against the deal. The machinery starts up. This is unfair. He's letting me down. He's not a good boss. The thing is, I knew that he was a deal breaker when I took the job. I'm getting exactly what I ordered, and I am responsible for that. So anyway, that's all, brother.
Thank you.